You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Get right to it. You ready? Everybody ready to get right to it?
Good. Woo! It's Friday.
Let's get right to it then. Okay. Why don't we, is anybody paying attention? I've just completely lost contact. Oh, I forgot we have our guest waiting.
Okay. Well, not really.
Let's go to him right now. Mike Griffith joining us. I just wanted to make sure we got this shot perfectly. I was waiting for Griff to put the hot dog down. Griff, you're in a baseball stadium today. This is the opening of the baseball season. We'll talk more about that. But we want to talk to you about something that you wrote the other day. And that involves Kalen DeBoer, the new Alabama head football coach. What are your thoughts after 32 days on the job?
Well, Paul, we knew that this was going to be an impossible job for anybody to fill the shoes of Nick Saban. And certainly when you bring someone in from the outside that doesn't know a lot about the SEC or the Southeastern Conference, the challenges, I think, go up. Obviously, Greg Byrne, the Alabama athletic director, felt good enough about Coach DeBoer, or where he was at in the coaching search after maybe some other names had come up that didn't take the job. I don't know if they were offered. They certainly got big raises. Steve Sarkisian, over $10 million now. We saw the Florida State coach on the heels of losing 63-3. Mike Norvell gets a raise over $10 million. Dan Lanning, very comfortable in Oregon. And Coach DeBoer, but you felt good about that because after all, Ryan Grubb was the guy that Nick Saban had interviewed, his offensive coordinator. Well, now suddenly Grubb's not there. Grubb's gone to the Seattle Seahawks, and he's also taken the offensive line coach with him. And, one of the things about the Washington team, they'd won the Joe Moore Award for having the best offensive line. So now you don't have your offensive line coach that you thought that maybe Coach DeBoer was going to bring. You don't have the play caller that Coach DeBoer has had to decide for 12 years. You did pick up a couple of guys off of Butch Jones' staff. Butch Jones is the guy that hired Robert Gillespie and Nick Sheridan, a couple guys that got promoted. So a couple guys from the Butch Jones era at Tennessee now with some Indiana coaches and Coach DeBoer. And here you are with spring football upon us.
Yeah, I appreciate that word salad, Mike, but this is exactly what you said in your column. You said it's been a bumpy start for Kalen DeBoer in Tuscaloosa, to say the least. The new Alabama coach has struggled to keep key players and staff members in place, leading many to wonder if DeBoer can get the tide rolling once again. I see how you kind of skipped that when you were trying to paint a rosy picture. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, listen, here's what I've realized. I mean, this is a very sensitive time for Alabama football fans. They knew this day was, it's like an aging relative was ready to move on, I should say, to ESPN. And boy, I can't wait to see Nick Saban on the set at ESPN. We kind of knew that was coming. But what I meant, Paul, was that this hasn't gone as smoothly. This has not been an optimal situation. He's lost key staff members. Elite players have left the program. Their best receiver went to Texas. Their best defensive player went to the Ohio State. They've had to reach and hire other assistants. Typically, coaches like Gillespie that get held over, these are usually guys that stick around for a month or two and kind of give a coach the roadmap, and then they usually get rid of them. That's typically how it goes when you hold a couple over. I mean, you got to look at the position that Coach DeBoer is in. And it's like President Biden. You got to have all these advisors around you telling you what's going on. It's a huge undertaking to be the Alabama football coach in the Southeastern Conference, Paul. I think you need to look at the challenges.
You're telling me you're comparing Kalen DeBoer to an 80-year-old president of the United States? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, I wasn't going to go. I'm not going anywhere.
Mike, I just want.
I
don't need all these flowery declarative sentences. I just want to know exactly what is your point? Are you trying to tell us that you don't think DeBoer is going to do it?
Well, I think it's been evident from the start that there was going to be some challenges, Paul. I just think we need to be sensitive to the Alabama
Hold on, Mike. Mike, we don't need. I can go to the bookstore if I want to read literature. I just want to know what you really think without all this nonsensical BS.
I think Coach Spurrier was right. I think when Steve Spurrier said this was probably going to be a 2 or 3 year hire, that's probably what this look is starting to look like it could be, with the fact that Coach DeBoer does not have his best assistants with him any longer. The fact that, you know, there's been some questions, Paul. I don't know if you saw this. The Seattle Times basically accused Alabama of holding out on these players so they couldn't transfer. They waited to hire the OC in Seattle, according to the Seattle Times, 30-day window, so kids couldn't get out of Alabama. It makes you wonder, will that transfer portal be filled up with Alabama players, and what will that do to the Crimson Tide? Listen, Paul, you've seen this just like I have. We were there covering Alabama in the 90s when Gene Stallings went out that door, and he had built a championship program. They were 4-7 one year later. Now, I'm not suggesting Bama's going to go 4-7 or 4-8, but I think there's a real possibility that they're not going to be a playoff team. And there are a lot of questions about Kalen DeBoer. And if you're not asking those questions, you're not paying attention.
Well, listen, I was there like you were. Gene Stallings, there was a lot of reasons for that. But, you know, we're talking about a coach that was in the national championship game a couple of weeks ago. I mean, this is not some – you know, bum they elevated from the coaching staff to save recruiting like it was back then, if you remember. This is a guy with impeccable credentials.
Yeah, well, Bruce Arians was the offensive coordinator, by the way, and he had pretty good credentials. But Michael Penix isn't coming with him. Newsflash for you, Paul. The Heisman Trophy runner-up is not on the Alabama football team, and we don't know how Jalen Milroe is going to translate into Coach DeBoer's offense. And here's something that Jamie Chadwell told me. Jamie Chadwell, of course, you probably already know, he's our Steve Spurrier Award winner. We're going to honor him next Monday in Gainesville. But something Jamie Chadwell told me was, it's harder to take over a winning program than a losing program. And the reason why is because anytime you try to tell a kid how to do something, you hear, well, that's not the way Coach Saban did it. That's not the way it's always been done before. So there's going to be some challenges. I mean, these players signed on to the Crimson Tide, and Alabama fans will tell you Nick Saban's the greatest coach ever. They signed on to play with him. They didn't sign on to play with this coach that nobody had heard of before the last year or two at 3-3 Fresno State in 2020. I mean, let's be honest. How much do we really know about Kalen DeBoer before last year? He's somewhat not the hire that you would have expected. I guess it just surprises me knowing that Nick Saban's departure was going to be imminent. Now, what Nick Saban said, this almost makes me wonder if he's going to come back and coach in a year or two, is he said that in 2020 interview, he said that he would leave when he was an impediment to the university. Listen, Paul, he's not an impediment. Nick Saban can still coach.
Mike, can I stop you? I mean, you quit making stuff up, okay? I mean, what Nick Saban said in a 2020 interview has absolutely nothing to do with a man who said he was tired, he was ready to move on, and he's also 72 years old. I mean, I don't know why you always have to just create things out of midair. Like, I mean, you're insinuating that Alabama, I mean, I'm going to interpret what you're saying. You've already said it to a degree. You basically said Alabama has a 2 to 3 year coach. Am I right about that? Yes or no, Mike?
I mean, as of February 17th, that'd be my prediction, is 3 years would be the window right now. If you put gun to my head, I'd say within 3 years. Yeah. Sure.
And do you think anybody else would be in a different position taking over for Nick Saban?
Absolutely. I think they could have done a better job in getting the next coach set up. This could have been orchestrated much better, in my opinion.
And whose fault would that, whose fault is that? Is that Nick Saban's fault or is that Kalen DeBoer's fault?
I don't think it's either one of their faults.
Nick Saban's the guy that walked into a room and resigned 5 weeks ago, and it wasn't anybody else.
Well, he had quite quit long before then, doing weekly television interviews and buying a $17 million mansion and 2 Mercedes dealerships. If you couldn't see the writing on the wall, I mean, we're not talking about hieroglyphics here. This is a guy that was ready to go, at least for now. again, and Paul, I'm a little surprised that you would sell him short.
By the way, that guy that was ready to go also beat the number one team in the country and prevented Kirby Smart, your guy, from a three-peat.
And that's why I wouldn't be surprised if he's back in 2 or 3 years, Paul. I mean, he's certainly 75? Not an impediment to Alabama. Why not? I mean, he looks fit, and if it is a fiddle to me, he's going to be on the game day show each Saturday.
Well, Mike, I mean, there are guys on game day who are 88, so I'm not sure what correlation that means. What does that mean?
I'm just saying, I'm not going to sell Nick Saban short. He may get the itch and say, Mike, are you really suggesting
you think Nick Saban, after a year or two or three on game day, is going to come back to Alabama? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
I'm not ruling it out. I'm not selling Nick Saban short, Paul. I'm not going to sell. You may sit there and sell him short.
I'm not selling him short. I've never sold him short.
Well, I'm glad, because this is the guy who's got a lot of football knowledge, that's plenty capable, that's taken very good care of himself. And if after, who knows, maybe Alabama will be ready to have him back after a year. But you wonder, is that where he would want to go if he came back? I don't know. It's a whole other conversation. This conversation was about Kalen DeBoer and some of the bumpy travels that he's had so far. There was the speculation over the tampering. Listen, the Arizona quarterback's dad said that's not true. But the fact that that conversation took place was disappointing to me.
Mike, just for those of us who aren't as smart as you and your whatever you're suggesting, what exactly are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about Arizona having an extremely talented quarterback that was a freshman. You may have noticed he won the Offensive Freshman of the Year. Will be honored at the Spurrier Award next Monday. You knew this. But the father had said that there'd been some schools that you know, through the back channels. And some people put this together and made Alabama an allegation. And the dad said, no, it wasn't Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. You know, but the fact that we're even having a conversation, listen, Alabama's got Jalen Milroe, and they brought the quarterback with them from Washington as well. I mean, these are the sorts of things, these are the sorts of sidebars that I think could be a distraction for this program. And this is a really important time for the Tide to stay on track. And I don't mind telling you about what's happened in Tuscaloosa with the offensive coordinator leaving and the line coach leaving and Coach DeBoer hiring the guys from Butch Jones' era at Tennessee and the five Indiana coaches. Everybody knows that. Of course there's going to be some drop-off from Nick Saban, and it's going to be a tough league next year.
Mike, before you go, how is everyone – you cover Georgia. Let's start with Georgia. How is Georgia reacting to all this and some of the other key players in really in the SEC, especially from a recruiting standpoint?
Well, Paul, Georgia's got their challenges too. I mean, their run defense fell all the way to number 18 in the country, and so – good thing for them, 6 of their 7 defensive tackles are coming back, and a pretty talented group. You know, Carson Beck, now he's got some receivers. I think they'll be more effective driving down the field. Certainly off the field, he'll be driving a little bit better in a Lamborghini these days. If that gives you an idea, Georgia doing well with their collective and taking care of their players competitively with other programs that have elite quarterbacks. But Georgia doesn't think too much. Kirby doesn't think too much about Alabama. Georgia fans really – you know, really the October 19th game at Texas is the big headache. There's an F1 race that weekend. Georgia fans having a hard time getting tickets for that game. They're looking at that as probably the game that's going to decide the SEC in Texas next year. And to me, that's what I've heard more about is the game in Austin,
Do I need to remind you that before that game in Austin, the Dogs have a game in Tuscaloosa on September 28th?
Oh, I'm very well aware. Listen, I'm with you. I think that's a game that should be a focal point. But, you know, what you're asking me what I'm hearing, and okay. I'm hearing a lot about Texas and the threat of Texas and Steve Sarkisian. I mean, that's a staff that's been in place. That's a team that beat Alabama by 10 points in Tuscaloosa last year. That's an impressive program that Steve Sarkisian's built. And they're a real threat to the SEC with their budget. So to me, I think that's the big threat right now. People talk about Texas and Georgia at the top of the SEC. And then you get into the second tiers, the Alabamas, the Tennessees, the LSUs, Old Misses in Missouri's.
Mike Griffith joining us. Thank you, Mike. Always good to see you.
Appreciate it.
Mike Griffith joining us from Athens, Georgia. Matt Brown will join us next hour. Kyle Peterson in the hour after that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. What a beginning to the program here on a Friday afternoon. It happened last night. The biggest star in college basketball, Caitlin Clark, breaking the NCAA women's hoops record. She might be the biggest star in all of college sports. Men's, women, football, baseball, doesn't make any difference. Meanwhile, front office saying EA Sports announces the summer release for the College Football 25. Good chance Mike Griffith will not be on the cover. Baseball opening day today, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. LSU is the pick, according to ESPN Bet. That seems rather funny saying that, but I just did. Nicole Auerbach tweeting that George Kliavkoff is gone. Mutually agreed. That usually means they fired him. Last time that happened to me, we mutually agree that you leave right now. Let's mutually agree to get some reaction to that first guest. Jim is up first.
In spite of our severe differences often, you and I, that's why I still listen to the show at the start of the show. You just ripped that stinking, lying, stupid, ignorant, fool, Georgia hack. You just about ripped him as good as you used to rip people 10 or 15 years ago, which you haven't done recently, but you just did it. Well done, sir. I'm telling you, he's a blithering fool idiot. And, you know, what business was that fool in before he got in Alabama's business? He's a complete, total hack. But he proved one thing. Georgia still severely fears Alabama football, no matter what the coach, who the coach is, because Kalen DeBoer came to Washington with only feet, face, ass, and hands, like my daddy used to say about himself when he went to work. But he had the skill to do what he did without anybody helping him except those he got. And he got what he got was the difference in what became a great football team. This fool, blithering hack, Griffith, he's equal, I guarantee you, he is equal to the biggest fool liar on earth today, and he equals him, and that is Adam Stupid-Ass Schiff from California. That's how dumb
that
fool
is. Hey, Jim, let me ask you a question, because my memory isn't as good as it used to be, but isn't Griff the same guy who said Kirby had taken over college football from Nick Saban, and then Nick Saban goes in there and beats Kirby Smart again in December?
That's exactly who it is. That's exactly who it is. He's just a false, phony, fake artist. Doesn't know a damn thing about football. I don't care what he is. He's a stupid, fake liar. And all he wants to do is try to beat Alabama down with talk. Well, talk is cheap, Mike Griffith. You got to do it on the field. You hadn't done it on the field, and you're not going to do it again, I don't believe. I know from what I've read and seen of Kalen DeBoer, he's a classy guy. He's a smart, skilled guy. He was a great athlete, and he's been a great coach. And none of your words is going to deflect from what he can do without whoever he loses. And if he has to pay for it, like everybody else is having to pay a fortune for these people, he'll get the money because Alabama can get just as much money as Texas or Georgia. And in spite of your stinking idiotic words, that can happen and will happen, I guarantee you. So, I can see why Paul has you on, because you are so sensational. The foolish crap you say, it makes some headlines, but fools only believe it. Only fools, and you're a damn heathen fool is what you are.
Jim, you're right. We've had our differences, but one thing I can count on is you setting the record straight, which you have just done.
Thank you very much. And you knew I could do it. You know I'll do it again. I can't help it, Paul. It's in me to address those issues. Well, especially when a fool like that gets on the air and tries to discredit a fine organization. And you know, anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. The idea that a Griff would just blow past September 28th when Kirby Smart tries to get a second win against Alabama. I mean, he's, 1-5 against Alabama? And the last one only cost him something that nobody has ever done in the modern era, and that's a three-peat. So, I'm just trying to think about all the things Griff said, because as the host, I'm trying to remain calm.
Yes.
But he actually said, because sometimes you have to interpret Griff, because he's just so, you know, He speaks out of all nine sides of his mouth, but he's tried to suggest that Saban is going to come back to Alabama at 75 and take over, as if there wasn't a reason he left at the age of 72. Logan is up next.
My God, Paul. You need to write this down. February 16th, 2024 is the first time I've ever agreed with Jim from Tuscaloosa. I mean, you absolutely destroyed that guy. I haven't seen anything that crazy since yesterday when Fannie Willis destroyed Trump's attorney. But, I mean, I almost felt sorry for him. But then you have to listen to what the guy's saying, and it's just like, what the hell is he talking about? Nick Saban's going to come back in 3 years and take over the program? I mean, what is that about? I don't get it. But you definitely destroyed that guy.
I want to make it clear, Logan, my job is to interview him, not debate him. And I apologize for even showing my emotion, but I was really befuddled.
No, I mean, you can't let that kind of stuff stand. I mean,
before he said what he said, he's just... He really, I mean, I'm the fool because he was just setting us up, wasn't he? He was just feeding
he
was feeding the calf for slaughter.
Yeah. Well, he likes to, I don't know why he comes on your show. I mean, I've seen you eviscerate him before, but.
Is anybody, listen, with all due respect to my friend Steve Spurrier, is he still running college football? I mean, Griff must have quoted Spurrier 5 or 6 times as if he is still the controlling moral authority of college football.
A guy that's been out of coaching for, 15 years now?
Hey, Coach Spurrier, why don't you go save the program in your own town right now?
Yeah, exactly. If he's got plenty of stuff to deal with at Florida, he doesn't need to worry about Alabama, and neither does Griff. He don't need to worry about all our transfers and all that kind of stuff. He needs to worry about Georgia, because the last time I checked, we beat them.
Yeah.
And he didn't mention that.
I mean,
strangely enough.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a fan here, but I'm going to. Who was the SEC champion last year?
Exactly.
Alabama.
Well, right. So, what did he
who
just,
played
he
in
just
the, who was in the playoffs
forgot.
And who was in the consolation game against loser Florida State?
Exactly. So, I mean,
who went to overtime in the Rose Bowl?
Exactly, Paul.
And it wasn't for that moron Tommy Rees, Alabama would have won the game. Okay, I said it.
I think so, too, yeah. No, I have to agree. That was the dumbest call I've seen since, I won't go into that.
But anyway, Logan, thank you very much. We're up against, we have only been on 30 minutes. Seems like we've been here a year. But we have plenty of time. We're not going anywhere today. We'll be here all day, and we'll take your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. More phone calls coming in as we've had a busy, busy first 30 minutes. Bubba is up next.
What's shaking, Paul? Randy.
Bubba.
Hey, first off and foremost, Jim, that was an excellent call.
Jim was
a freaking, he's a verbal assassin, Paul, and when it's channeled in the right direction, it's very enjoyable to listen to. Mike Griffith, he throws out so much verbal fluff before he ever makes a point, it's painful to listen to.
It really is.
And I'm glad you keep the heat on him when he's talking to you, but it's almost ridiculous trying to listen to him.
Well, Bubba, they teach you, especially places like where I am, to always come out with your best thing first. Mike's like going to remember when you were a kid, your parents on Sunday after church would take you to the cafeteria? I mean, Mike has just got to go out down the entire line before he gets to his point, and you're exhausted by the time he finally says something.
Oh, absolutely. He sounds just like a used car salesman when he's talking about.
I think you're insulting the good people who sell used cars.
Well, I probably am. The only tidbit that I caught from him, though, did he say that Kalen DeBoer hired some of Butch Jones' assistants?
I see, Mike forgets, but we don't, that he was on this program a year before Butch got run, pleading with Tennessee officials to give Butch an extension.
Yeah. All I can say is I'm going to have some fresh cigars ready when Alabama comes to Knoxville this year. Because if that's the case, I mean, honestly, let me ask you this, Paul, and this is just my opinion, but how critical is it for Kalen DeBoer to have a successful first season with his team?
Critical.
I think so, too, because if they don't have a winning record and at least make the playoffs, I'm not saying they got to win the national championship, but if they don't have a fairly good record and make the 12-team playoff, the wheels will come off the bus. Because they're no longer will they be able to attract the kind of talent they're used to having. The talent that they do have is going to start looking at bailing off of the
Saban. Well, I think we saw the first indicator of the Saban effect the day that Saban, Caleb Downs, and countless others departed. I mean, that was a bad sign.
Absolutely.
But that was more about Nick Saban waiting as long as he did nobody wants to criticize Saban, but Saban didn't set the next coach up very well.
No, and honestly, Nick Saban sat in those guys' parents' living room. Kalen DeBoer did not. They came to play.
By the way, he sat in their living room not that long before he left.
Exactly, and I'm telling you, the only hope that Kalen DeBoer has is to coach his way through this. If he can pull it off, go 9-3, 10-2, make a playoff, put a solid season together.
Oh, he will survive. But if
Yes, but if
it is really important for him to get off to a good start. I agree with you on that.
Anything less than that, and you're going to see a lot of bad stuff start. I mean, you're going to see people jumping ship. Five stars will be looking elsewhere. And, you know, the NIL, the transfer portal, is not going to be his friend if he's not successful
this year. You're right. Hey, thank you very much, Butch. JT is up next.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I got a statement before I got a question for you. Been with you since you were on whatever the AM station that was in Birmingham.
Oh, thank you.
Many years ago. And that may have been one of the best calls I've ever heard. I know all the old Epic callers. And who was the old guy from Real Town? You saw us talking about
Charles.
Boy, but, yeah, well, Mike Griffin just got a country boy butt whooping. I mean, Paul, it was brutal. I kept thinking, man, throw the gloves down and run. You're getting the fire beat out of you. But here's my question. So has Mike Griffin been hired as Georgia's recruiting coordinator?
He may as well have been.
Well, that's my point. That's all that was. I mean, you know, I'm like, man, come on. I've been a season ticket holder at the University of Alabama for 40 years, and I'm happy with the hire. And my expectations aren't any lower, but I understand it takes a man, you know, I've been in business. It takes you a year or two to get it right. It will be critical this year, absolutely. But I think people like me, I played a little ball. I watch a lot of ball. You know, we'll see the signs. People with knowledge will know. And I think it's a good hire. I'm not disappointed. I think Mike Griffin's crazy. And I feel bad for him. You know?
Yeah, I think ultimately everybody who covers a beat gets a little bit carried away with wanting their team to do well. But I don't think Mike has ever gotten over that SEC championship game when Nick Saban made him cry.
Anyway, I just I don't want to take a lot of your time. I enjoy your program.
Thank you very much.
Many years.
Good to hear from you. We head to the break. We have had a busy first 35 and 40 minutes. More to come. A lot of guests on the other side. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back. We continue with more of your phone calls. And Jim is up next in Maine. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to follow up with Bubba's conversation, because I think as a fan, that's all of the big question we have, the anticipation with the season. And just wondering, in Tuscaloosa, are you hearing anything about Nick Saban and maybe still having a role in recruiting?
I really don't think Nick Saban has a role in anything anymore. And in spite of what everybody said a couple of weeks ago, he's moved on. And yeah, I'm not saying that he won't be called on, but all the players that he committed or signed, most of them left the day he left. I just don't think his sphere of influence is going to be that much as a former coach.
Yeah, sounds about right. And lastly, Paul, with spring football a month away, is there anything that you or the fans looking for anything in particular with the team, with a new coach and new staff, you know, something might be really focused on?
Yeah, Jim, I think ultimately when you have a new staff, you just want to see how it works. How does Kalen DeBoer's offense mesh with what Alabama already has, meaning a starting quarterback who progressed significantly during the season and at the end of the year was one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC and the country? Thank you for the call. And Mike is up next in Georgia. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. I usually call in just kind of discussing specifics about, you know, kind of sports and things that are going on and, you know, that are related to the game as opposed to all this opinion stuff going back and forth. And but I'm, you know, listening to this stuff, you know, between Griffith and I don't know Griffith and I, you know, I don't know stuff, but he's obviously got an opinion and you do. You seemed a little rattled kind of by it, you know, kind of came across and you're the most, I love your show. It's one of the most professional, related shows, you know, with good stuff and listening to kind of folks and I get it. And then all of a sudden you get these guys calling them, I don't know, Jim and all, you know, your call-ins that just kind of want to say, okay, here's the problem. Here's what's bad with it. I think there's a lot of stuff going on, obviously, in college football and with what's going on in Alabama and the kind of thing. But you know, I just think it just got to stay level. You know, the feedback back and forth has got to be like, you know what, I got an opinion and I'm not me from my standpoint going to sit here and voice an opinion. Obviously, I have one, but I love the game. I love the game of football. I love kind of what's going on. I love what you kind of give back to folks. But this stuff going on for the last 30 minutes, it was just not what I think the show is all about. So I just figured I'd just call in and throw my opinion. And I appreciate everything you do.
Mike, thank you very
much.
Listen, number one, I appreciate your kind words about most of what usually goes on here. So thank you very, very much. And, I mean, we're simply reacting, that's all. And let's continue. Bash is up next in Boulder.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Randy, happy Friday to you. Yeah, all this chaos with Mike Griffith's call to start the show off, I'm not even going to address that crazy man's comments. I will respect him and say thank you for fighting for our country and serving it, and that's all I'm going to say. Paul, I wanted to ask you yesterday, did you by chance catch the women's basketball game between South Carolina and Tennessee?
I had it on. Yeah, I sure did.
Were you getting a little nervous there? I mean, your Tennessee Volunteers were almost pulling off the upset of the century.
You know something, Bash, as a Tennessee fan, I expect them to win. So I wasn't surprised. They played very well, and then the game got away. But they're playing the best team in the country, so you tend to expect that.
Absolutely. I was getting a little nervous watching that. I was like, are we actually about to watch South Carolina lose? And it will be against Paul Feinbaum's alma mater? I was like, this could be the ultimate call for Friday. But unfortunately, the fourth quarter came, and they only scored 9 points. But my second question to you, Paul, is I assume tomorrow you're going to keep the momentum going with Auburn and pick them to beat the Kentucky Wildcats?
That is correct.
I gotta admit, after what I incorrectly picked a couple days ago, it's without question the Auburn Tigers' home court is the scariest place in the entire nation.
I mean, I think Kentucky, they were fortunate to have Ole Miss the other night. Thanks for the call. Bob in Fort Worth. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon to you.
Hey, I caught old brother Mike Griffin hollering and screaming. Sometimes I wonder if old Mike didn't get his feet caught in his risers and land on his head back in the day.
Yeah, I think all of those things happened, Bob.
Hey, and Jim's call. Jim done a good job.
Jim came to everyone. Jim had a great call.
Yeah, right up until the time he said, if money's a problem, they could raise as much as the boys in Texas. Jim, I hate to hurt your feelings, son. And I don't know how old Jim is. Don't care how old Jim is. But, Jim, I'll tell you, just like I told Legend, you could bankrupt the state of Louisiana and not be able to raise as much money as the boys in College Station or the boys in Austin. It ain't happening. So you Alabama folks need to get over that. But other than that, he done all right. I just thought I heard that, and I thought I'd throw my 2 cents worth in there.
Well, you know, Bob, I agree with you. There's money, and then there's Texas money.
That's right. There's money, then there's real money.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Alabama can't – they. And I ain't saying they don't raise a lot of money, and they'll have a hell of a ball team. But I that's – you know, I keep hearing that out of these Alabama folks, and sorry to hurt your feelings, boys. You may have a better football team, but you don't have that kind of money.
Well, we are eager to see some of that money, Bob, both in Austin and especially in College Station. Thank you for the call again. Griffith was on earlier. He said a couple of things. He said the biggest game for Georgia is the one in Texas in October, not the Alabama game. And then he said with a straight face that he believes that Nick Saban will come back in 2 to 3 years to replace Kalen DeBoer.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.